Before watching this video, it would be best, if you have not already done so, to watch the first three parts, as they lead into this video by showing that salvation is salvation from sin through living according to the Spirit. In this video, I'd like to examine the once saved, always saved doctrine of eternal security. This doctrine says that if a person believes once, for a single moment in time, then they are saved eternally and cannot lose their salvation. Now, if we look at the word believe, as in John 3:16, we see that it is present tense, which means it is a continuing action. So the real meaning of this verse is, whoever believes in and continues to believe in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. Also, the word believe means to commit to or to trust in. So believers must commit to, trust in, and continue to commit to and trust in Jesus in order to inherit eternal life. Matthew 10:22 makes this point clear, where Jesus said, "He who stands firm to the end will be saved." Obviously, because we have to stand firm to the end, then it is over a period of time which continues up until the end. So we can see that to be saved, we have to continue to believe until we see Jesus. An example which shows our need to stand firm until we see the Lord is given in Luke 12:42-46. In this parable, note that there is only one servant. In verse 42, the faithful servant, obviously a saved man, is put in charge while the master, Jesus, is away. Then in verses 43 and 44, if the master returns and finds that the servant has remained faithful, then he will put the servant in charge of all his possessions. However, verses 45 and 46 say that if the master returns to find that his once faithful servant has fallen into sin, getting drunk and abusing others, then the servant will be assigned a place with the unbelievers, which is, of course, hell. This parable clearly shows that we must stand firm until we see Jesus. Once saved doctrine says that we are saved by grace alone, and as true as that is, it is an incomplete statement. As Ephesians 2:8 tells us, it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we see that we are saved through faith, which is a gift of God's grace. And faith is not a momentary thing, but a believer's lifestyle, because we live by faith. Now, since salvation is through faith, and 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us that some will abandon the faith, then logically those who abandon the faith have abandoned their salvation. The Lord said in Hebrews 13:5, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." However, we can leave him, as 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we disown him, he will also disown us." So just as we were free to accept Jesus into our life, we are also free to reject him. This is made clear in 1 Thessalonians 4:7 and 8, where it says, "God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit." 2 Peter 2:20-22 also show how we can turn our back on Jesus, where it says, "If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud." We can see that these souls are clearly lost, but they were saved at some point because they had known Jesus, they had known the way of righteousness, and they had escaped the corruption of the world, which only believers can do because they have the Holy Spirit. So a believer can reject God, disown and be disowned, or turn his back on Jesus and be worse off than if he had never been saved. At the Passover meal, Jesus gave a vividly clear warning regarding salvation loss. There were only 11 apostles present, as Judas had left earlier on. In John 15:5 and 6, he said to these 11 men, "I am the vine, you, that is you apostles, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." Jesus was speaking to saved men, all faithful apostles. He told them that they were branches in him, and if any one of them did not abide, then, like a branch, he would be thrown into the fire. So we can see that even an apostle could have deserted Jesus and faced hell if he remained unrepentant, just as Judas did. Can this simple setting and these plain words lead us to any other conclusion? Once saved doctrine also says that if we have to do anything to be saved, then it is salvation by works. However, Jesus said that there is something we must do. In Luke 13:3 he said, "Unless you repent, you too will all perish." Now we all know that when we first repent, it is not considered to be works. So because it isn't works to repent to be saved, then it can't be works to continue in repentance, and we have to do that, as Romans 8:12 and 13 tell us that we are obliged to live according to the Spirit, and to put to death the misdeeds of our body, otherwise we will die. Regarding living by the Spirit, if we look at Galatians 5:16 to 25, we see in verses 16 and 17 that it says, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." This tells us that there is a spiritual war going on within us, between our sinful nature and the Spirit, and we know that in all wars there are overcomers and those who are overcome. Likewise, there are two possible outcomes for a believer, and these verses go on to show both of these possibilities. If we first look at verses 22 to 24, we see the overcomers, saved souls, who have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And they have this fruit because those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. The second possible outcome is to be overcome by sin. Back in verse 16, the Galatian Christians were told, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." And then in verses 19 to 21, they are told, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." So, if we live according to our sinful nature, then sin will overcome us, and we'll be shut out of heaven. But if we live according to the Spirit, then we'll overcome sin and go on to eternal life. Clearly, believers who fail to come under the controlling influence of the Spirit will be overcome by sin. We are told in 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." So I ask you, are you in the faith? Do you examine yourself? Do you have fits of anger, envy, selfish ambition, jealousy, dissenting gossip, drunkenness or lust, etc. in your life? If you have, then please don't be a fool and think, I'm saved, I'll be okay. God knows what I'm like, and besides that, no one's perfect. It's certainly true that God knows exactly what you're like, but it is equally true that he has no favorites and will condemn anyone who fails to repent. All that is required of us to be perfect in Christ is to confess, and the Lord will forgive and cleanse us, just as it says in 1 John 1:9. We will never reach a state of sinless perfection until we see Jesus, but if we maintain a repentant heart and confess our sins, then we will be blameless in the Lord's sight, and know without question that we will inherit eternal life. Finally, to me, it is plain that we can lose our salvation, but if you're not convinced, then I still urge you not to grieve the Spirit, but to live a repentant life and remain in Jesus' love. As in John 15:10 he said, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." I have a video called Grieving the Spirit on YouTube, and the link, along with a link to a free book called The Calvary Road, is at the end of this video. This book shows in simple terms how to have a close walk with Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you walk with him. Amen.